B-Pod Studios.
Zola and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys, how we doing? Good?
Yeah, real
doing
good, huh?
Well.
Real good, huh?
Good. Good, 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 good. Zoe not here today. Jones is here.
Yeah. Well, it's a finish strong Friday. That's weird he's not.
Well, last Friday was the last Friday we're going to see Zoe probably for the summer. Oh, wait a second. He wasn't here last Friday either.
Yeah.
But that was not a scheduled day. That was a horrible, horrible thing he was going through.
An unfortunate mishap.
The leaky hot water heater.
Tragedy,
forced
Jones.
Him
right,
to.
Tragedy, please.
Right.
Use,
T's and P's, yeah.
Use words that carry the appropriate weight when you're discussing that, please, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Out of respect for everybody involved. Mm-hmm.
But today was an actual scheduled day off for Zoe.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes,
right?
That makes it better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. It is a Finish Strong Friday, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong. They're growing and hiring licensed plumbers and HVAC technicians who can finish every job strong. Apply now at call128.com. Looks like the Celtics are a little bit active today on the trade front, boys.
Hmm.
Celtics making moves. What are we calling Brad Stevens?
Well, what do you mean, what are we calling him? Calling
I know that you have the GM Willikers nickname for him.
We're calling him what Tom Morgan called him, GM Willikers. What?
I just think that there should maybe be something more specific to the desire to make trades. You know, Trader Danny had Trader Danny. What are
I
we
see.
Calling Brad in his trade situation?
Barter Brad.
Barter Brad. That's pretty good.
Brad the barterer.
We're working it out. We're working it out.
Workshopping it right now.
Yeah, workshop that.
Celtics trading Kemba Walker in their 2021 first round pick that is coming up in the draft to the Thunder. They get Al Horford in the deal. Along with Walker in the number 16 overall pick, the Celtics also send a 2025 second round pick. That's super valuable. They get Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second rounder. Also hugely valuable and
highly
a centerpiece to the deal,
well,
for sure.
2023 looking to be a very deep draft.
Oh,
that's
I like
what they're
that.
Saying.
Second
you,
round picks in the NBA. I mean, those should
you
just
want
be,
to be in the second round in 2023,
yes.
Not 2025. Although I do feel like that 2025 second rounder would have been a sticking point for Ainge. I feel like that would have been a deal breaker.
He wouldn't have been willing
He's
to
He's like,
with that.
I don't know. That 2025 second rounder. Yeah, we'll call around. We'll make more calls.
Okay, so what do you guys, what's your initial reaction to the deal? Mine is, oh, good. They got rid of Kemba. They did it. They managed to get rid of him. They managed to get a deal done. And they didn't wait around. They didn't drag it out. They didn't take all summer to do it. They didn't haggle. They didn't cry about it. They didn't have a back-and-forth fight with Kobe Altman. They didn't have to do any of these things this time around. This felt smooth, quick, and done. They knew they had to trade the guy, and they just did it. I'm not sure the deal. This deal would have been done under Danny Ainge.
Barter Brad.
I'm surprised that things were that bad between the two of them. When the reports first came out about Kemba, I'm like, is he really that upset? He seems to be a pretty mature guy and hasn't understand the league. And while nobody would want to get put on the trade block so soon after signing and being courted the way he was, yeah, there's got to be some understanding. Apparently, the bad blood was very real, and they had to move on from him. So my first reaction was surprised that it actually had to go down because they obviously felt that it had to go down. But yeah, like that, it actually went down. They got it done. It seems like a pretty clean deal. And now, Kemba Walker seems like a nice guy. He can't stay healthy. The Celtics, in some way, better hope that he kind of just stays where he is right now. Because if he ascends and manages to play more games than he sits and ends up being a force, this is going to make them look really, really bad. Now, obviously, they couldn't do anything about the injuries while he was here. But if they just sour the relationship so badly to the point where they had to trade him, and then he becomes an effective piece, now what do you have? Al Horford was 35 years old.
Like
I think
just
you said
turned,
this morning.
Just turned 35. Yeah,
35, an impactful player. Again, I'm the basketball dum-dum. I was told the entire time he was here, every game he played, every instance, that I did not understand his greatness. I could not see the genius that was Al Horford.
Well, he impacts winning. You saw what he did in Philly.
Right.
And
right.
Oklahoma City this year.
Things like that. You know, okay, so even that, Jones,
table.
You're like me. You don't see it.
No.
You can't understand it.
It's a downgrade. Like this, and I like Beadle's point that at least they got it done. Like,
yes.
if this was Ainge, he would have tried to double back and get more out of Oklahoma City. Like, he wouldn't have just taken a fair deal. He would have tried to, you know, knock a grand slam out of the park. And if not, then he probably would have sat with Kemba until he could hit a grand slam, which you want to win every trade. I understand that. But in the meantime, you're wasting time. And so Brad's not wasting any time. GM Willikers is not wasting
any
job. Time. So that to me is good. It's a downgrade, though. Like Horford.
Oh, they were going to lose this trade, though, no matter what they did.
Well,
they were in a losing position to start.
What if you did, and you know, these are all rumored other players who were available, but what if it was Kemba for Porzingis? I'd feel better about something like that than this. Like,
well, I would too, but I don't think that was possible.
Maybe not.
No, I had low expectations for a Kemba trade.
No, I think that one was possible, but Porzingis health-wise is Kemba. I mean, he didn't play any more than Kemba does.
No, but at least he's good when he plays. Like, Horford, to me, is the downgrade. It is. And while we're at it, why don't we just bring back the whole, you know, Bridge Celtics, the Bridgie Celtics, as Big Jim Murray likes to refer to. Why don't we just bring them back? Bring back Isaiah. What's Avery Bradley doing? Jay Crowder, I think, is still playing in Phoenix. So, like,
I like him.
Why don't we bring some of those guys back?
Okay.
Is that Bart or Brad's vision for the team? To go and rewind 4 years?
It does seem a little Bridgie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Al Horford wasn't supposed to be a Bridgie. He was, he was obviously the first, you know, coveted free agent. This was going to open the floodgates. You get Al Horford here, and now you will prove to the rest of the league that you can make a decision to play here, and others will want to play here, and it hasn't worked out that way yet. But you're right, it's going backwards. This is he as good now as he was when he first joined the Celtics? Al Horford?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
How could he be?
And, you know, I think the cap savings and luxury tax savings and everything, that's great. I mean, obviously the team cared about that at the deadline last year. So the bottom line is important on this year's team. But until they move Horford for something else, him and Kemba are signed for the same amount of time. It's not like it gets you into free agency any quicker or helps you sign any big ticket free agent any sooner. Maybe Horford's easier to move. And that was a stepping stone. Get rid of Kemba, step it down to Horford, then you can flip Horford eventually. But until they do that, I don't know. I feel like this is a downgrade. Kemba didn't play every day. But
it is. I think it's about long term. I think it's about just being able to move him out of here, move his contract off the books, and try and down the road within the next few years be more able to get the money off your books and do something later.
But in the meantime, you're worse.
Them. I mean, Kemba now, in hindsight, the Kemba signing was a disaster for the team.
Disaster.
Nothing went well with it. He was hurt. He battled the knee thing the entire time. They should have known better. And maybe we should have all known better. And I put me in the group of, okay, Kemba Walker, that's okay. And, you know, I didn't have any major objection to them signing Kemba Walker. I know some people did, like Tim McCone. That guy was against it from dead set against it from the beginning. And he's taken his victory lap here in recent weeks. But this was bad. This did not work for the team, and I had low expectations for them being able to move him. And so I look at this deal and say, I'm just glad you did it quickly and didn't waste time and spend your entire offseason arguing over the 2025 second round pick. Fine, rip the Band-Aid off and do it. You're going to lose the deal no matter what.
No, and that's fair. But today they're worse, is all I would say. And I don't want to like talk up Kemba in hindsight, because I did plenty of Kemba bashing the last couple of years, but he's better than Horford. And I'm mildly intrigued by Moses Brown, who they got in the deal, but that's a secondary piece. That's not a foundational piece. That's a secondary piece. The primary motive was getting rid of Kemba, getting rid of that disaster of a deal, as you put it, Beadle. And, you know, I wonder what this does for their reputation. Like, we've talked about this. Their reputation is a massive, massive thing that came to light in the Nets series with Kemba Walker, with Kyrie Irving back in town. So now you've pushed out another all-star. You know, and maybe Horford's a guy who wants to be here. Like I heard Hardy say that before. Maybe Horford's the kind of guy who can talk to people as a former All-Star and say, yeah, it's not that bad there. But in the meantime, this is another All-Star you pushed away. So, really gave away.
Was part of their thinking that they were bringing an adult back into the room and they were bringing Horford back for reasons other than what he is as a player, that they felt, and Brad felt, that he couldn't control the room. And maybe he had better control when he had Al Horford to lean on.
Maybe.
As a coach.
The last time Horford was here, it was a disaster. It was the last Kyrie year.
True. But I'm saying but Kyrie was he's a hurricane, that guy. Whereas the early years with Horford, he probably leaned on Horford to be one of the veteran voices there. I don't think Horford's got the personality to overcome Kyrie, because I don't think there's a lot of guys in this league that have the ability to overcome Kyrie. Maybe he is thinking about Al Horford, the veteran, the leader, in doing this deal too.
Again, I've always thought that's a little overrated with Horford. His last year here in Boston was a mess. Was it good in Philly?
No.
What did leadership do in Philly?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But I think he was coming into a situation where they had the young stars already in place.
He was brought in to be the adult in the room there. It didn't work. They were horrible. And so OKC, I don't really blame him for last year. He was benched. They were tanking. I don't really blame him for that. I said that facetiously earlier. Like, how good was OKC? They were the worst team in the league, just about. So the last 2 years he was really playing, Boston was a mess, Philly was a mess. Like, how much is his leadership going to impact anything?
Okay, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't a factor. I think it had to. The personal factor had to have played into it on some level. Whether it was 1% of the reason or 10%, I just have a hard time believing that a guy that they really, really liked in Al Horford, they brought him back simply because of being able to get the best possible return for Kemba Walker. More on the financial flexibility for the Celtics and what they can help create in the coming years to give themselves some flexibility. And also the dynamic of Brad Stevens doing a deal with Sam Presti, who many have said should have been hired for Brad Stevens' current role. I think that's an interesting angle on this. And your calls, of course, and your reaction to Kemba Walker being traded. He is gone, and Big Al is back. 617-779-0985. Jones with us, Zoe off today, and your call's coming up on a Finish Strong Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. .com.
Zoe and Beetle. Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you
smelled
it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rebounding's been good. That's a recent Celtics are still in it. Aaron Bain sets the screen. Kyrie down the right side. Shovels back to Smart. Extra pass for the open man in the corner. It's a Horford three, and it's good. Henson waiting for him as he drives baseline. Little no-look shovel out to Horford for three. Got it at the shot clock buzzer.
Man, is that his best friend?
Celtics can take the lead here. Kyrie goes behind his back. Shakes off Maker. Skip pass to the corner. Horford another three. Got it.
Man.
There's $73 million left on Kemba Walker's deal. If you're an OKC fan, do you not question that today?
Oh,
I like to look at it in reverse. If you're a fan of the Thunder and say, you're just trading for a guy that has a bad bum knee and couldn't finish the year and couldn't play back-to-backs and is always hurt, and we owe him $73 million, what are we doing?
And Al Horford can play a little bit. Do you look at this as a win if you're in Oklahoma City today,
Jones?
I mean,
yes, they're tanking. They want draft picks. They got another draft pick, and they're paying Kemba Walker to do it. Okay. And what they'll probably do is they'll probably flip Kemba next year. They'll do exactly what they did with Horford. They took on Horford's bad deal. They turned it into a first-round pick. Like, that's probably what they're going to keep doing. So I don't think Oklahoma City's anywhere close to contending or anything like that, but if I'm an Oklahoma City fan, that's what I want. I want more first-round picks. And in 2 years, Kemba's off the books, and maybe if he can I mean, I don't think he's going to stay healthy, but maybe if he has a productive year, there's 1 year left on his deal. You can flip him next offseason for another pick and keep stockpiling. I like it for them. It makes sense.
So with the deal for Al Horford, he has $27 million due to him this coming season and $26.5 million the following season, but only $14.5 of it is guaranteed. So we'll see what happens with Al Horford. I think he's going to play the year here. I don't think he's going to get flipped again before the start of the season.
But next year,
I could absolutely see him getting moved. And so I just think it gives the Celtics some maneuverability because I think that Kemba deal is going to look worse every year that goes on.
So I would agree with that.
Thank you. We find some common ground.
They now have potentially an asset, which sounds weird, with Horford to move because you don't owe him a lot of guaranteed money. So that's probably an easier contract to trade going forward. But again, today you're worse. Like today your team is worse. And if you want the Celtics to, I don't know, be a top three or four team in the East this coming year, they're not going to be that. I don't think, based on this addition. So maybe there's more. Barter Brad, you were calling him Hardy. Somebody tweeted at me. How do you guys feel about Scheming Stevens?
Why can't you just accept my nickname?
Well, no, I think it generally should be called GM Willikers.
No, Tom has a good point. Yeah, it's a GM. Well, yeah, why can't you just accept GM Willikers?
I just feel there should be some aspect of him wheeling and dealing to it now. There should be like a secondary name on these particular days.
Just as a stickler for facts and details, does it not give you pause that he's technically not the GM? Does that bother you?
Oh, right. What is he, the president of basketball
he's
ops?
He's the president of basketball ops,
Brad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't roll off the tongue. I like Scheming Stevens. You guys hated on it. I like Scheming Stevens.
I'm not a fan of that. I like GM Willikers, clear favorite, followed by mine, which is Barter Brad. Mm. Mm.
GM Willikers is still the superior nickname here, though. That's for sure.
Barter's a little dated, too.
Oh, jeez.
You're not that clever.
This guy. Hardy and T-Bone may murder one another.
I was going to say,
today might be the day.
Do you know how happy I am? Describe Hardy's face when Tom's voice just broke over the air. I don't even know how to describe the disdain and disgust on his face.
Look of disgust for sure.
Yeah. You know how happy I am to be back in this position so I can turn my back to him. That's what I feel he deserves. And
it really is nice having all three of us in the same studio here.
It's a shame we can't do this every day.
It's too bad. Everyone vaxxed up in here. It feels good.
Feels nice.
We could even maybe.
We sold the glass. I was going to say.
Even think about taking that down too.
Are you vax shaming?
Me?
Yes.
No, I'm just celebrating those who are vaccinated, so that we could all be celebrating us being together.
That's the difference.
I'm not shaming anyone.
All right.
I'm just celebrating us all three being in here at the same time.
It is nice
with a strong case to take down the glass too. And you know.
And spread the computers out to like normal distances.
Yeah, we could. You know, it feels like this is great. It's great to see you guys. Great to be here.
Hey,
Matt and Auburn likes a part of the deal we have not spent very much time on. That is Moses Brown. What do you think of that, Matt?
I'd say Moses Brown is the best piece in this deal. I mean, keep in mind, when the Thunder played the Celtics, and I mean, we beat them by 17. But in the third quarter, it was a tie game. Moses Brown finished that game with 21 points, 23 rebounds. It was an absolute problem. And Brad Stevens witnessed that firsthand. So you got to understand, despite the money going on here with Al Horford and Kemba Walker, you got to think that Brad had Moses Brown in mind when he made this deal.
Like, I don't hate that piece. I think that's a good piece. I just think, you know, is he better than Time Lord? Probably not. So now you have a couple young bigs who I think Moses Brown's a little more polished offensively for sure. But at least in terms of, you know, an ability to have his back to the basket and things like that. But I think, you know, if you're hanging your hat on Moses Brown in this deal, I think you're missing what's going on. The Celtics were trying to get rid of that Kemba deal to create some flexibility. And I think that was the main piece. I'd probably rather have Moses Brown than the 16th pick, you know? Like, if I'm the Celtics.
Sort of a known commodity and someone that can contribute faster.
If I'm Oklahoma City and I'm good at drafting, well, then I want the 16th pick. But if I'm the Celtics team, and I guess we don't know how Barter Brad, Scheming Stevens, GM Willikers is going to draft, but right now I don't know that I like the direction of their drafting. So no, I don't know that I want that 16.
I'm not overly familiar with Moses Brown. When I went to look him up earlier today, one of the first questions that Google autocorrected is what happened to Moses Brown.
Oh no!
Oh,
because people didn't know after college what necessarily happened to him. And I mean, he's been impactful, but
any 7-footer who's healthy is a guy I will take on the team.
They list him as 7'2".
Yeah.
Is he 7'2", Jones?
He is big.
When I eyeball him, he's more like a 7'1" to me. I think they're pumping him up a little bit. But yeah, I'll give him the 7'2".
I love 7'1", 7'2".
I don't think he's anything special. He's just a depth piece, and he's another big you can have on your bench. So I'm fine. Well, I'm not getting caught up on Moses Brown like Mike is. Mike thinks he's probably going to develop into something way more than he is.
Well, he dominated the Celtics last year.
Oh, didn't take much.
Well, I was going to say, you could bring in the entire league with the guys who dominated the Celtics last year.
Anthony is in Everett. Hey, Anthony.
How are we doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that Al Horford trade, awful trade. This isn't a homecoming for Al Horford. This isn't what the people wanted. I mean, thank you for moving Kemba, but we're moving trash for trash. And we need a real big man for going to win games.
All right. Okay, Anthony. I don't think anyone's all that excited about Al Horford coming back.
I think some fans are. I think fans are excited about Al Horford.
Anna Horford?
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. I mean, I think she's probably very excited. It's been a miserable experience for the Horford family the last couple of years. But, yeah, I think she's excited to be back. I think there's some fans who...
When he talks to the media, is he going to admit that he should have never left? That it was a bad call for his own personal career to have left?
Well, he should have to answer why he left. You know, Kyrie wasn't going to be here. So why were you so hell-bent on getting out of here? Kyrie wasn't going to be here. Everybody knew that. The book excerpt that that came out on the Nets.
I thought it was pretty obvious. It was more money, but it wasn't so much more money that it would make it
decision. I don't think it was that much more money.
It was a little bit more money.
It was.
It was more money.
It seemed like he was hell-bent on getting out of here.
Now
you're cool with Tatum and Brown? Were you not cool with them then? Like, he should have to face some questions about that. He should.
Cam and Ton. Hi, Cam.
You know, I think you guys hit on it to start. Just finally some proactiveness. You reacted, you moved. I mean, Danny is probably sucking his thumb in a fetal position right now, the thought of having to make this deal. Just like 2 weeks into his tenure and Brad Stevens is making a move. That's why I'm happy. And also, maybe Robert Williams is on the block now because that's something you can get something for. Tristan's gone. I think we all know that. But I'm just happy to see them finally. Oh, it's not that. Oh, the Celtics almost made this deal, or they were the runner-ups for this deal. They didn't quite like the asking price. They finally just made a deal. Thank God.
So Danny's still in the room, Cam.
And yeah, right. Until
he's
when?
There until the end
draft?
Of July. Yeah. I think is the plan. And I just wonder how that scene played out, where Brad's on the phone and Brad says, "Okay, we'll do the deal. Deal is done."
Danny just shrieks from across
the
room.
Like, what?
2025 second round.
What are you doing the deal? What do you mean?
You're busting my balls over here, Brad. What are you doing?
We're not even close to getting the deal done. This deal isn't done. Deal is done. Deal's done, guys. The deal's done.
Yeah, shut the door on it. Gee Willikers. Get out of here, Kemba. You stink.
You know, there had to be some of that back and forth. No, the deal's done. No, we did the deal. It's over.
Don't let the door hit you in your bum knee on the way out.
What are you talking about? You could have had a second round pick.
Somebody get me my milk in a tumbler.
You could have had an extra second rounder in 2028. You didn't want to go for that? No. I want to do the deal.
No, I'm going to leave here and coach somewhere else by then. I'm not worried about 2028 first round picks.
Not by 2021.
Brad, you know, you still have a responsibility to the fan base and, you know, putting together a team for next year. You still have some very good pieces here.
Yeah, well, that Al Horford, he's pretty average. We're pretty excited about having him back. But, you know, Kemba and his bum knees, you can get out of here. Get out of here. Go on, get.
There's more hayseed in your G Willikers.
There's something
than I've heard before.
Yeah.
What percentage hayseed is your Brad Stevens?
25%.
Is it that much?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
I haven't picked up on it before.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I had to hear it in person.
Yep.
Quickly, we'll go to Dave in Dedham. Hi, Dave.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby!
Hey, baby!
Listen, Jones, I'm a huge fan. I love you, okay?
But, wow, you're that guy,
but,
huh?
But, listen, he's gone, okay? He left you for Dale Arnold, okay? You've got to come to grips with that at some point.
I know. It's been okay? Tough. It's been tough going without Keith, yeah.
Okay, I'd like to see you happy again.
I think we're allowed to say that.
We just did.
The Celtics are... Yeah, the Celtics are starting a rebuild. I want to be happy for this trade and just let them be.
Okay.
All right, Tim.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Bizarre.
Wasn't expecting to get a call like that today.
No.
But it's finished strong Friday, so anything can happen. Who's doing headlines?
I am.
Oh, all right. Whew.
I should find out what's going on. I mean, beyond the, I know enough. I know enough.
Yeah, you got it.
Think so?
Look, it's Sweden and SVK is playing right now on the
TV. Oh, you know what that will?
You can update that one.
Hold on. No, because they teed off early to finish the first round out
is
of Torrey Pines.
The all open update right here?
So let me, no. How dare you? Probably. A little bit. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So do I.
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens doing a deal with Sam Presti. Sam Presti is a guy that some people felt should have been given some consideration for the job here in Boston, the job that Brad Stevens is now doing. I wouldn't disagree with that sentiment. And so I find it interesting because as one unnamed person that we work with here today dropped a conspiracy theory on us that Sam Presti could be doing a deal for when he is eventually hired in Boston when Brad Stevens walks out the door.
Oh, that was an unnamed conspiracy theory.
Yeah, unnamed sports conspiracy theorist.
Huh.
Dropping that take into the mix today. Is Presti doing the deal for the Celtics or is he doing the deal for
doing it for himself?
Yeah. Is he doing it for, well, I should say, is he doing it for the Thunder or is he doing it for himself when he eventually takes over the Celtics? Interesting thought.
That's not outrageous.
It's not, but it feels as if he is to take over. If Sam Presti were to move and switch jobs, it's not going to happen this offseason. It's not. But the Kemba move will have implications down the road for the Celtics. This is good that they were able to trade him. It's good. Dave in Weymouth, what do you think of the trade?
Well, I don't like it. I agree with you guys. I don't think we're better this year. And I think if next offseason we're going to try to trade for that third superstar, I think it makes more sense to trade Kemba's contract at $34 million because that's what that superstar is going to make. If we're trading Horford and it's only like $13 million, we're going to have to dump a bunch of stuff off our roster that we might actually want.
You know what? That's not a bad point. Like, you're going to need Kemba's salary to match whoever's going in, so you probably will have to put more in the deal. I think this is more about free agency, I think. And in 2 years or maybe next year, maybe there's a way to get that Horford deal off the book. Books, I don't know why they'd be worried about free agency, since free agency in Boston, the experience is you get good, not great players, but pay them like they're great players. Horford, Hayward, Kemba. So I don't think you're attracting legit superstars here, but I think this is about, you know, clearing the books for a couple of years from now. But it's a fair point by him. Like, if you're trading for Lillard, for instance, what does Lillard make? 40 plus million? Doesn't Kemba's deal get you closer to that without putting in a player like Smart or another player into the deal?
It does, but I also wonder if it makes it harder to trade him a year from now. What if he has another really bad year with injuries?
This is proof, and I never said they couldn't move Kemba. I said if they moved Kemba, they'd get a deal like this. You'd have to take back another burdensome contract, because how many times in the NBA have we said, oh, that guy, you can't move that guy? Nope, they all move. You know, John Wall was like supposedly an unmovable deal. He moved. So I don't think it would have been impossible, but maybe they were worried this is the best they could get.
When you say he's immovable, but now he's able to move, I think they're at that point with Kemba. Okay, you're still able to move him, but that doesn't last forever.
No, true. I mean,
it doesn't go on for five years.
If he's hurt again, you know, you're really in a bind.
You're already moving damaged goods.
Yes.
And a disaster of a deal for the Celtics after 2 years. So after 3 years, that could look even worse than it looks right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
He has, you know, surgery next year on his knee, and he's out indefinitely. Now, all of a sudden, is that still movable? I think there's a risk there. There's a risk. It does. I understand what Dave's saying. It does make it harder in those potential scenarios. I also sort of wonder if those potential scenarios are even going to come to fruition.
What's that now?
The names you just threw out. Damian Lillard coming right to the Celtics. I mean, come on. Let's be a little bit. Let's be a little bit more grounded in reality.
No, but
for,
I'm saying
for these 5 minutes.
Like if you were trying to make a big trade, Kemba's contract. If
in
you're
theory, yes.
If you're trading for that kind of superstar, you need the money to match the deal. Was the caller's point? I think that's actually a good point.
And in theory, he's not wrong. I just think that you run a risk if you bring him back. I don't think it's just as easy to do this type of deal again a year from now. This deal itself for Al Horford and the picks involved. I don't know if this deal is as easy to do a year from now if Kemba has another horrible year, injury-wise. Jake in Boston on Kemba being traded. Jake.
A pleasant surprise, and not just because Anna Horford is back for me. Listen, Mo Brown can play. He's big. He's a human suction cup who can pick up rebounds in short periods of time. He's a starting center in this league and proved it the second half of the year. And I'm going to trigger Hardy. If you want to look at Ben Wallace's career path, there's your Sam Presti conspiracy theory on why he did the deal for himself. Al brings an adult into the room, throw in Time Lord, and you have something that actually looks like a front court, and now you have some element of financial flexibility. And listen, I'm a guy who believes the future of this league is throwing two tall guys under the basket and three shooters to jack up the basketball. That's where we're headed if
that's
we aren't already
the
there yet. That's here right now. It started with the Warriors. But if you have 2 7-footers under the basket, you can have 3 guys who are whatever height they can and just throw up 40 shots a game. And you just, you know, you run your offense that way. That's what the Warriors have done. And listen, Brad still needs to get the head coach right, and he needs to jump on Becky or Kara here, because Mark Cuban's job is going to go to Becky Hammon if Brad Stevens doesn't do that. Mark Cuban's ego is way too big not to make that hire.
That's an interesting point. The Celtics aren't the only ones in this position right now. We think there's, you know, a couple of, you know, really outstanding female candidates for this job. Celtics are the only people who need to hire a coach this offseason?
No, there are openings all over the place.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's...
If Brooklyn knocks out Milwaukee, there's about to be another one.
Yeah, I believe so. That's... I hadn't even really thought about that aspect of it. Tell me more about Ben Wallace.
What about him?
No, it's an interesting notion. Everyone's trying to get back and just be as great as that 04 Pistons team. Look, you're setting your sights too high. You can't do it.
And by setting your sights
in a bottle
on the 2004 Pistons, it's what can we do to reach the minimum is what that theory is. How do we get to be the minimum, the minimalist winners that the 2004 Pistons were?
Team Beetle.
Well, you know, it's a good transition here, Hardy. Jones has a thought. He's going to save that.
Oh,
save that thought, Jones. He's got one right on the tip of his tongue.
I was about to bash Ainge, but yeah.
No, good. Save that.
Yep.
And also, you mentioned that team. Chauncey Billups is apparently in demand for head coaching openings. And if the Celtics have an interest in Chauncey Billups, according to one story today, they better act quickly. So they do have to get on this. The coaching search is dragging on. The trade happened quickly. We'll talk about both of those things next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right. But it's a retake. It's a reheated take.
Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Jones, what was that thought? You were going to bash Danny Ainge.
Oh, yeah.
So right on the tip of your tongue
there. We were talking about Ben Wallace and the 2004 Pistons. That's another championship team that Danny Ainge assembled, unlike all the championship teams here.
Well, Chauncey Billups.
Well, he didn't trade Billups, though. That was Patino still.
No. He was. Well, that's actually a good point. Billups, I guess, had ties to the Celtics. But no. Danny Ainge, I believe, was like a third or fourth team facilitating the Rasheed Wallace deal to Detroit to make that happen.
Oh, Rasheed was a big part of that.
He jumped in there. Danny Ainge also helped to assemble LeBron's championship in Cleveland.
How was that again? Just refresh my memory on that.
Deal. I want to say it was like acquiring Tyler Zeller and Marcus Thornton. From Cleveland. It gave Cleveland enough cap space to re-sign LeBron. Danny Ainge was the linchpin there, so he built the Cavs in like 16.
All right, okay. Acceptable.
Let's see. Well,
Are we giving him 0-4 Pistons, first of all?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he got Rasheed put him over the top. Thanks to Danny.
Okay.
Savvy move. He got all the cap space to clear the runway for LeBron coming back.
But in fairness...
He didn't trade for Kawhi, which means the Raptors won a title in 2019, thanks to Danny. He didn't trade for Anthony Davis, which means the Lakers won in 2020, and Brooklyn might win this year. So I have him down for 5 championships. I don't count 2008, of course, because Kevin McHale made that one happen.
That's only fair.
Yeah, if we're going to be consistent. McHale built that championship team.
And in fairness to him, nobody could have predicted what happened in 04. It was a magical time, and that he could not have foreseen that. No one did.
Right.
Danny knows all.
Danny, smart guy. McHale gifted them the championship in 08.
So Danny gets credit for all the championships for the last 17 years, except the Celtics.
I mean, Jones is applying the standard fairly.
If I'm going to be consistent and fair, yeah.
Right? I mean, he's giving out the championships. He didn't award the Cleveland championship to their GM.
If I'm Danny,
he gave it to Ainge.
If I'm Danny, my boat's name, 5 rings. That's what I'm doing. That's what I built. Never mind counting the ones as a player.
Who is your top candidate for the Celtics head coaching opening? Who do you want them to hire?
So I do like Billups, and I know we're going there. I like Cassell as well. I'd probably lean Sam Cassell out of the two of them. But I don't know. I think they're kind of a toss-up to me. I like a couple of other names that I don't think the Celtics are going to hire. I like D'Antoni. I kind of like Beal.
Oh, gross.
I kind of like Coach Cal. I kind of like Calipari.
Interesting. You know, I was going to make a point on that yesterday, and I never got to it. By the way, my candidates, Sam Cassell is 1, and Chauncey Billups is 1A. I put them in the same category. I think they both could be excellent head coaches. They don't have head coaching experience, but I think they could be really good fits for the job. I was going to say this about Cal yesterday, and we never got to this, Hardy. I think he is so much better suited for the NBA now,
yes,
in 2021 than he was when he went to the Nets in the late
90s. 100%. He's a giant in the sport now. People may not understand that, but he is.
I don't think people around here understand that. Shaughnessy's of the world, etc.
Yeah.
But he is, and he has immense popularity among players, and I think he connects with players, and I think people genuinely like the guy.
It's stupid, but it's Nike. It's the Nike connection. Like shoes are massive in basketball. They are. Whether you think that's dumb or not, you can think it's dumb.
It's still a thing.
But it's a real thing, and, you know, Calipari and his connections to Nike, like, that's a significant thing. So I think he could... I think he's the rare coach who might actually be able to attract talent. I don't think the Celtics are ever going to hire him, but I'd be on board with Calipari. I'd be on board.
They're not going to hire him.
I'd be on board with D'Antoni.
I wouldn't. I would not, because of all the reasons of the things we just said about Calipari, I don't think exist with him. But I think
the players would respect D'Antoni. He's coached superstars.
I can understand why Cal's name is coming up now again, because it should. And because college basketball is sort of going down the crapper.
Cal's
been there how long now?
Yeah, I don't know. Close to 10 years?
That's too long.
No, right, exactly.
Get out of Dodge.
He's pretty good. He knows when the NCAA is sniffing around. You get out of UMass, you go to the NBA. You get out of Memphis, you go to Kentucky.
Listen, all the NCAA investigations right now, or lack thereof, should be on Adidas. But, you know, it is what it is. It's been 10 years. The sport's changing at the college level. And so I think he should give it a go. I think he should give it a try. But I don't know if he will. He tweeted the other day that he's, you know, ready for another season at Kentucky and let's go and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I would put Cassell number 1 and Billups 1A. And according to Gary Washburn in the Globe, the Celtics better start moving if they want Billups, because Billups is attracting interest from all across the league. And he's gaining all kinds of endorsements from people he played with, people that have worked with him, people that know him. And it feels like everybody who knows the guy thinks he's going to make a great coach. And they're telling teams that. And so I go back to the same question I've been asking the Celtics. What are you waiting for on hiring your head coach? Why did you have so many names on the list? Why did you need to conduct as many interviews as you did? Why are you dragging your feet on this? For all the praise they will get today for pulling off the Kemba deal as quickly as they did, this one feels to be going far too slowly, and they have no excuse not to be the first team to hire a head coach and get their pick of coaches. They've known now since March that they were going to be in some sort of awkward spot. And how long have they known that Brad was going upstairs? At least, what, a month?
Oh, it's got to be longer than that. I mean, but in terms of like what they've publicly said, yeah, if we're following their public timeline, probably like a month, yeah.
All right, get moving. Get moving. You have the pick of anybody you want right now, and you should not get beat out for Chauncey Billups when you think you may have wanted him. Hire your coach. Hire the guy. Get on with it.
Well, now that Dallas is open, isn't Dallas a better job?
I think there's a pretty good argument that it is a better job.
Luka's better than Tatum. Tatum's great.
Would you take Rick Carlisle?
Here?
Yes.
Yes.
I wonder if part of their hesitation is knowing about names like that coming free. I'm sure somebody knew Rick Carlisle was going to be available before he actually told the Mavs that was going to be the case. And so I do wonder if that is a factor why they haven't jumped on anybody yet, because they're saying, there might be current coaches out there that we might want to interview, and they're not currently unemployed.
If you're one of the coaches that's going to have multiple offers, like it's going to come down to you. There are multiple teams that want you and your services. What's the number one consideration you have before picking a team? To me, it's not even the players who are there. Is this a team where other players are going to want to come play?
I think there's a chance of that in Dallas.
That's what, just a tiny bit more than Boston.
More, yeah.
Between Tatum and Brown, yes, I would think that NBA players, other players would want to come play here. But it's Boston. There's a thing, what deserved or not, that thing exists. Dallas? I don't know if there's a thing in Dallas.
No,
I think you get that one player down there that encourages others to play in Dallas. Sure, why wouldn't I play in Dallas?
Yeah, and I don't know what they're... I don't think they have a great free agent track record. Like, I think they're actually a lot like the Celtics. Didn't they sign DeAndre Jordan at one point? Or did they try to? I'm trying to remember what went down with that.
It's when he got locked in the house in
LA. Is that what it was, right? And so maybe they were trying to sign him. I think... who was the stiff? They paid a bunch of money to a kid a few years ago, Chandler Parsons. So I don't think they have a great free agent track record, but like Cuban is a guy who takes care of his players, that everything there is first class in the, like, I could see players going to Dallas over Boston. I think Dallas is a better job. I think if Milwaukee opens, I think that's a better job too. Just based on the Giannis factor.
Giannis, it's huge.
James in Brighton. Hey, James.
Hey, so I think OKC was probably the only team in the league that was okay with taking on Kemba, because they want all those lottery picks, and they're going to be pretty high in the next 2 years anyway in the draft. Obviously, I think I would have liked to see us swing a deal with Mark Cuban for Porzingis, but they actually want to win, and Kemba probably wouldn't help them do that. And I mean, as much as I like Robert Williams too, I think we all saw that he can't be trusted to go a full season plus playoffs starting every game right now. So I really like our depth at that position now. I feel like it's kind of been a glaring issue since Al left.
Yeah, I think you need more pieces than just Robert Williams in the front court. They learned that. I'm sure Tristan Thompson is gone now. Like, I think that's the next shoe to drop. There were enough whispers about him and his teammates last year that I'm sure he's the next shoe to drop. And I think he's got a reasonable contract that a contender would like. Is Robert Williams and Moses Brown plus Al Horford enough in the front court? It might be. But you can't rely on the Time Lord like they did last year, because as he proved, I think, Beadle, I was on with you the day it happened, as he proved from his introductory press conference, you can't trust the guy. You know, he can't stay healthy. He's not reliable. You don't know if he's going to show up. So he's got talent, but like, you need another piece there. And maybe that's what they got in their front court.
Let's get to headlines. 90 seconds. There are no commercials. We're right back on this Finish Strong Friday. We do have some other things we're going to get to outside of the breaking news today that Kemba Walker has been traded. He is out of here. Celtics coaching search still in the mix as well. And we've got some football items to get to. So don't go anywhere. Finish Strong Friday is continuing on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.